Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today on Barbecue and Tech, it's that time of year, Memorial Day. Trying to make sure we hit you guys up before you start buying your goods to make sure you know what we plan to do, because we want to know what you plan to do over the week, just in case we got to change our games up to be on the same level with you guys. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner, Kime, co-host, and my barbecue expert, Chris Ashley. What up,
dog?
What's
up? What up? What up? What up?
All right. We're here. It is time.
Man. Yeah, we wanted to get this out before Memorial Weekend, help folks get some tips and tricks in and potentially I tell you, one of my favorite things that has been an outcome of this doing this podcast was when we did our Super Bowl menu and other people did things similar to the Super Bowl menu. I thought that was completely awesome, and I really love that. So I want to see if we can influence anybody else's Memorial Weekend.
You know what made my Super Bowl day was seeing other people's food. Like, yes, there's nothing better than when I go on Twitter or IG and all I see are like app messages, and you're seeing what other people are cooking. Because for me, sometimes it's like something I see something that inspires me. So like, and I think a lot of people get that, because they'll watch like Sam the Cooking Guy, for example, and you're like, man, that looks pretty good what he made. I'm going to try that. Yep, so they pick up on something that they've seen someone else do. And it's not always about the recipe. Sometimes you just need an idea.
You want a little inspiration. For me, I almost make it competitive sometimes, because when I watched Sam the Cooking Guy and he did that macaroni and cheeseburger, I was like, I can do that joint is dope. I could do it better. And I smoked mine. You know what I mean? So it's just little things like that. And I still have not to this day remade that burger, by the way. I said it was too decadent of a burger.
Sadly, this year, I'm in a bit of a pickle. So I work for a European company, and I like I've said many times before, it is a great experience. However, they tend not to remember U.S. and European holidays. Well, they don't remember U.S. holidays very well. The European ones, they get extremely well. And this happens to be one of those scenarios where I'm getting burned because some people aren't remembering that it's a U.S. holiday. So I actually, on Sunday night, will be flying to France for a offsite meeting with a bunch of my colleagues, which is great because I like to meet with my colleagues. Unfortunately, I don't like to do it during a barbecue weekend. So I'm going to have you do my barbecue for me, because I already know you're cooking.
No, I'm just kidding.
I already know you're cooking. It's not like I'll pay for your extra charcoal you might burn, or your lump charcoal, your hardwood, whatever it is you're using. I'll cover the cost of that.
Wow, I know that, lucky me.
Yeah. Well,
the smoke is pay already for running. The charcoal you already have. And just so folks understand how silly this is, Rod and I probably have not handed cash between us in 30 years. We just, all right, I'll get it. And then it's like, it goes on the perpetual tab. So there's no chance that he's going to go buy me charcoal, and there's no chance that he's going to hand me cash or charcoal over, nor do I want it to happen. Yeah. So it's
but it sounds good to others.
It does. Yeah, to other people. Like, nice. Oh, man, that's a real considerate friendship. I'm breaking the wall here so you guys understand the foolishness that is being bestowed upon you.
There will be no charcoal.
I'm going to hand you some meat. And so what do you want me to, you know, everybody, you need a barbecue friend. You need a partner, because inevitably you're going to be sick. You're not, you know, you have to travel, you have to do something, and you're not going to be able to get it done. But you can, if you can count on somebody, why not?
I still have two racks of the beef ribs.
Ooh.
The Bronto beef ribs. So those are already out of the freezer.
Okay.
I figure they'll have to go on Sunday night. I'll get those to you probably on Saturday, if not on, probably on Saturday. So that way you can do whatever you need to do. I'll let you work the magic. I'm not going to tell you what the season you're cooking them. But you will have to, obviously you already know you got to trim them.
Yeah. I got to trim up a little bit, but, I can get those on the smoker. And then, is that it? Just the ribs? They go eat that? And then they're doing their own sides? Yeah, well, yeah, I know they'll eat that. They do their own sides and stuff.
They got to handle their own business. And honestly, so we had both of my boys are competing in the state track championship. So
congrats.
We had the team over. So there's a ton of what I would consider side dishes that still going to be left around, so the kids can still have sides to go with it. So they'll be good to go. If you do the main thing, that'd be good. I might get you some baby back ribs or something like that to go with it. So there's a little bit of pork, a little bit of beef. But yeah, I think that's it, man. For me, right, I know you, cool. You're going to be doing it up a little bit more.
No, I don't go crazy, because, you know, we're not doing like the big get together like we normally would do. And to me, I don't know how other folks feel, and I'd love to see it in our Discord and in Twitter and stuff, is Memorial Day a big barbecue day? Like a big smoker day, or is it more of a grilling day? To me, it's more of a grilling day, but I do like to involve my smoker. So, for me, I'm going to do a couple of different, reverse sears, which is still one of my favorite things to do, especially, with the new griddle. So I don't know if folks,
I will say that Blackstone.
Yeah.
I now have at least four friends with it. Since you got it, and I think it's appeared at either Lowe's or Home Depot carries the Blackstone. Mm-hmm. Only, and the only reason I know that is because the people who I know who have it are not barbecue people who would actually go out and seek it in any place other than their general home department store they can walk into. So I think because I'm carrying it, and a couple have the top. Like, I think you didn't get the top.
I didn't get the top. No, I have mine came with with a cover.
Right.
But I didn't get the top. But I don't think the top really makes that much of a difference. It's still gonna, you know, it's a cast iron on top, so it's still gonna rust. You still have to burn it off. And all
I've seen people doing stir fry on it. I've seen a lot of different, I've seen burgers cooked on it as well. I've seen tofu on it. I've seen the friends who have it. Are in love with it. And I've also seen just like when they had a cookout, a lot of burgers, because it's like a restaurant. You could stack that thing full of, you could probably get 20, 30 burgers on there at a time.
Easy.
And be flipping easily and have room to put onions and anything else that you want to go down. So
I would say one of the top things I did on there was definitely tofu. I took a bunch of tofu and I sliced it into slices to make sandwiches. And then I grilled, I blackened them, and then I grilled them on the griddle on both sides, and it had a nice crusting on the outside from the blackening seasoning.
Yeah,
and then the inside was really good, and then did it up with some
You know why I want it?
What? Because I have it.
Well, yeah, of course. But in addition, I like to cook breakfast.
Yes,
and. Like if you go in the oven, typically, you know, I'll get like eight on one of my like pans. I'll put eight strips of bacon and those can cook in the oven, but then the house smells like bacon.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing wrong with that, but yeah.
So I could cook bacon and sausage outside.
Yep.
But more importantly, when you cook pancakes, most people cook pancakes, they cook them in a pan. And you can get, if you do a, if you, what I call like the Uncle Buck style pancakes, you get one in a pan at a time. Even if it's a 12 inch pan, you're talking, that's one pancake.
That's one pancake.
If you do the small little dollar size pancakes, you get maybe three in a pan. If you're very conservative, you're very aggressive, you could probably get four. But out there, you could really get four, you could stack 4 to 6 pancakes. So when I, and the reason why I like it is because I could start cooking pancakes outside. And go boop, 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 drop down 4 to 6 pancakes or 8 pancakes. And when I take the plate inside, there's food. Like, you can start eating now versus let me get a couple ahead of me. Because, I like, I, again, I have 4 kids. I got to get 4 pancakes in the hole and then say, actually, I have to at least have 4 pancakes so I can say you can eat so everybody can get at least one. And the bigger boys – one is like, man, that's just warming up the belly. So I need to get some room in front of me. So typically I will start cooking well before they get up so that by the time they wake up, I'm reaching the end and I've hopefully cooked beyond their appetite already. And they're going to throw the rest in the refrigerator and heat them up during the week for school.
Yeah. So grilling and griddle work for just cooking is one thing, but trying to run the griddle when you, for, you know, for an active eaters, like, you know, they're waiting for the food to come off the griddle. That's a whole different art, you know? And I, even though I, you know, some people may think that fast food jobs aren't like that prestigious, I learned so much, working at the Roy Rogers. And cause I started at the bottom, started out in the, as a dishwasher, right? And worked my way up to assistant store manager. And learning how to run that griddle and learning how to time things out so that everything comes up at the same time, you know, from there working in regular restaurants and really learning timing and, you know, interning and stuff like that with hotels and stuff like that. So, but being able to manage, you know, cause you imagine the griddle that's in like a fast food restaurant is like triple the size of that Blackstone. You know what I mean? That thing is massive. And has all kinds of cool little gadgets to it too. But, so I love doing breakfast on there. For me, even doing like, scrambled eggs, because I'll literally just mix up the eggs. I'll get the, you know, I'll oil the whole top when it's ready. I dump the whole thing on there. I don't just do a little bit at a time. I'm literally dumping the entire batch of eggs on there and scrambling it all on the same, at the same time and taking it back off. Or the other trick is to do like, pour the whole thing. And then, this is what I actually specifically learned in working at Roy Rogers, is pouring like a sheet of egg and then cutting that and folding them into individual little folded, pieces. So you can make sandwiches and stuff like the egg sandwiches. So it's just being able to pour it out, make one sheet and then cut them in it and then strips and then fold up each one of those strips, flip them, you know, add cheese if you want, all that stuff. And so I love doing breakfast. You know, even to the point where I'm toasting the bread on the griddle as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just, I love, that's why I really like it. But it opened my eyes to a new way to reverse sear. So, yeah, for first off, let me make sure people understand when I say reverse sear, what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is generally, right, you will. If you're searing a piece of meat, it's normally like a big, massive piece of meat. And you might have like a Dutch pot or even just, mostly times, at least growing up for me, would be in the Dutch pot. They would get the Dutch pot hot with some onions and some oil, and they would drop that big chunk of meat in there and they would just kind of really sear the outside of it. And then once it's like, you know, you got some charring on the outside and the whole outside is seared up, they would then take that meat, put it into something else like a pan, and then that would get like other things around it, and it would go into an oven or a crock pot or something and slow cook the rest of the time, And that searing just gives it like a nice char flavor on the outside, but that slow cook, you know, really gets it moist and tender on the inside. And, you know, that would be the typical when you're searing stuff. On the reverse sear, you're actually doing it backwards, right? You're cooking the food first and then you're finishing it with searing on the outside. And that gives you like a nice crust as well. And so for this week, the three tips I'm going to give you is three different methods you can use to actually perform a reverse sear, right? So, and especially in the barbecue context. So for me, generally, the probably my favorite thing to reverse sear is the tomahawk steak. But this year, well, we'll talk about that when we get to the menu. I'm going to try some other things. But what I typically do is I start out in a smoker. I have a thermometer in that piece of meat the whole time because I don't want to quite hit final temperature while it's smoking. When I'm done, I got three options. Option number one is a regular grill. And the trick is what I like to do with my grill is I want, and this is going to be the same for all the methods. You want that thing as hot as possible. So preheat your grill, turn it all the way up. Make sure, you know, what I like to do is take like a piece of paper towel and I'll dip it in some, some vegetable oil, and I will just grab some tongs and then I will just wipe the outside, the grates with that paper towel to get it nice and oily. So, cause I don't want anything, you know, sticking and it also helps kind of clear off any loose charring from the last time I used it.
I like to use a potato non-cooked and then just rub it across the grates to clean them off.
You did, yeah, but this actually oils it as well.
You're oiling as well.
Yeah.
I say if it's blazing hot, there's the only way you can get. You have to put the oil on when it's hot, but be careful because it just ready. Yeah. If it ignites,
the longest tongs, it will ignite, but it should come out pretty quickly. It should burn out pretty quickly.
Or just have a bucket next to you to throw it in.
So
if you get nervous about that,
yeah, I use a bundle of paper towel. In restaurants, when I worked in the restaurants, we would actually have a pan, one of those. Prep pans full of oil, and we would have a towel by us at all times. And you would take that towel and you would pick it up with the tongs and give it a quick wrap, and then it would go into the oil, and then we would just wipe down that whole thing. It would be flames everywhere, but then it would burn out, but that grill, would be ready. You know what I mean? That thing's, you know, probably a good 600-700 degrees, right?
Yeah.
So at home, just get it as hot as you can, and by letting it run, heat it, turn it on, let it go well before that steak or whatever it is your reverse searing is ready to come off. When it's done, and to me personally, you know, I've never looked up to see if there is which method is better. I've done it both ways though. I've taken the meat out and let it rest, and I've taken it out and directly gone to the reverse sear. But if anybody has any experience or any knowledge as to if one is better than the other, let us know. We'd love to hear it. But for me, I've done both. I typically will go straight from the smoker onto the grill. But when I'm tailgating, I can't do that, right? So I would take that thing, drop it on that grill, let those flames come up and kiss the sides of it, and just let it go. You don't play with it. Just let it, you know, the goal is to produce the charring on the outside. That charring gives it some extra flavor. It's a caramelization of the meat and the fat on the outside. And it gives it that, you know, that good flavor that adds to, you know, to everything else you've done to it. Let it go for a few minutes. Turn it over. Obviously, if you want to do some crisscross, you know, you would put it on, give it a quarter turn. Let it go again, flip it over, let it go, quarter turn, take it off. If anybody's wondering how you get crisscross on your food, that's how you do it.
Yeah, and I'd say you've probably already put foil on the bone for that that tomahawk. Leave it on. You put the foil on the bone typically because you're trying to keep that nice golden brown look. Leave it on the bone. At least I have. When I do my reverse searing on this, I usually leave it on the bone during this time so I don't burn that little bit up.
Yeah. So number two, and this is a new entry for me. I've mentioned it before, and that's what we were talking about earlier, is using an outdoor griddle, Blackstone. Man, The last time I did tomahawk steaks and I took them off the smoker, I had that griddle piping hot. That thing was ready. And I put them on the griddle. And with the griddle, I kind of prep it the same way. I have it turned on. I have it heated all the way up. But this time around, and what one of the reasons why I love having a griddle is I can take an extra step. So on a grill, you just put it on. That's it. But on the griddle, I actually put like a nice size chunk of butter on the griddle. And then I reverse seared it in that butter. And the absolute crusting that I got on the outside of that tomahawk steak was phenomenal, because the griddle just catches every piece of that meat and it gave it the crust. So when you, and when I'm saying crusting, I'm, you know, you could take a fork or a knife and you just tap the outside and you're almost like you're hitting toast. You know what I mean? So I gave that thing, and obviously there's
Quick question. When you said you put down butter, are you using butter or using ghee?
No, I've done both actually.
Okay. All right.
But generally I'm using butter. For folks, ghee, GHEE is a clarified butter, which has a lot of flavor to it too. And a lot of, folks will use that, instead, has a lot of flavor in it. But I've definitely done both.
So you don't worry that if the butter starts to burn, are you trying to essentially get some butter on it and put it down right away?
It's right at the same time, because it happens so fast. Because you'll see, like, when in like restaurants, a lot of times they're cooking their steaks in pans, right?
Yep.
And what they're doing is they're taking that butter, they're scooping it up, drizzling it on the top of the meat. They're flipping that butter from the pan onto the meat itself, and to just get it that nice flavor in there. So I dropped it on there. And it sears so fast, you know, it's not like it's sitting in there very long. So you hit that one side, let it go, flip it over, drop a little bit more butter on the top of that. We'll let that melt out while the bottom is searing. Take them off. But then I definitely let it rest after it comes off, whether on the grill or on the griddle, because, don't cut directly into your food like that. And, man, what a great experience that was. Just biting into it, it's like that, the texture from the searing, the flavor from the seasoning, then the flavor from the beef, crazy good. So definitely getting a griddle. And you don't have to go out and buy a black. First off, they have multiple size Blackstones if you want. But there are also like tabletop griddles that could probably pull it off. We've definitely done it before at tailgating. We've done burgers on a griddle. I think anybody can kind of pull it off, or you can take a griddle top for your current grill and do the same thing. I used to do that too, right? I would remove the grates and put a griddle top in there instead.
Yep.
And then still get that. And then obviously some people have grills that have both grates inside of it. So,
yeah. And so, if you're a Big Green Egg owner, they have, like a griddle grate, where it's half and half, 50-50, which is a nice little option.
Yep, I remember that thing. Yep, I never ordered it, but I remember it. So final option is a skillet. And anybody that's doing any type of grill work and barbecue and stuff, I'm sure you have a skillet. If not, you need to get one. Every household should have one good cast iron skillet. Maybe it was handed down from grandma, or whatever, or maybe you got to start your tradition. But man, the flavor you get out of a skillet is pretty awesome too. And I've done burgers in my skillet. I've done smash burgers in my skillet. Griddle chicken. I've had biscuits done in a skillet. It's just crazy, the amount of things you can do. But definitely, you can pretty much reproduce your griddle. With the skillet, except that you're just inside, right? So if it was raining or something crazy going on outside, I would just switch up and use the griddle instead. Same process though. We'll get it nice and hot, get the butter in there. As I'm about to put the meat in there, drop that meat in there, let it sear the outside.
So I'm sure there's someone else who's sitting here thinking just like I was, which what you use for the reverse sear is always going to be determined based upon what you're cooking. So if you're doing like just like a ribeye or like a fillet or something like that, or a fillet is probably the worst example, but if depending upon what you're cooking, it will determine this, because if you're doing a tomahawk and you have this big long bone sticking out, you can't reverse sear that in a cast iron skillet with that lip on the end. And equally on the egg, you run into a problem because the grate sits just a little bit below the rim. So you can't really, unless you have the really big egg, you often can't get that long extended bone.
I forget that they had smaller eggs.
Jesus. And now everybody gets to see what I have to deal with on an ongoing basis. Because unlike, I don't, like, so just so you can understand how Chris shops, he'll walk in, like, let's say he walks into a Ford store looking for a truck. He's not, like, most people would say, the F-150 is great. And I jest, because he does own an F-150, he's probably like, there's an F-450. Like, it's just bigger. So it has to be better. I want the biggest thing that you offer. And that's what he does with his grills, like, as you can see with his big smoker. He is a family of three people in his household. And he has a smoker that is damn near a commercial smoker. And here we go. Egg was the largest I'm cooking egg that they for other people. At the time.
Yes. So definitely some of the other options will definitely play towards what I'm trying to do this year. So one of the things that Rod did this year, I think it was this year, was you went to the butcher and got some thick cut pork chops.
Yeah.
And I've never done that. I've always just gone to my local Wegmans or whatever Costco has, grab their pork chops and use those, and have always been that. But man, I think that pork chop cut you got was probably the size, almost as thick as the tomahawk. And so
the nice thing, because you tell them how thick you want it. They're like, how thick do you want it? 2 inches, an inch and a half.
What did you get?
I think I did an inch and a half. Mm. Or it might have been 2 inch thick. Might have been 2 inch. And they were tree trungus. Mm. They were just massive. I was like, oh my God. Like, it was one of those where when I walked away, I felt like I'd made a mistake. It's too big. I might have to cut them down when I get home. And I didn't. And I did use sous vide, and then I seared them off, and they came out fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that. So what I want to do is I want to have like a reverse sear Memorial weekend. So that's how I'm going to involve my smoker. I'm going to get these big cuts of meat and get a couple tomahawks, get a couple pork chops. I'm going to smoke them first and then transfer them over to the griddle and finish them off on my griddle. So what temperature did you cook to on the pork chops?
Ooh, I remember that it made you uncomfortable.
I think you did 160, right?
Yeah.
You took away. Well, I think pork now is 165, right?
145.
Oh.
The internal safe cook temperature on a pork chop now is deemed 145 for doneness. And I know you and I both were like,
yeah,
my mother, I can't do that. Like, I cannot eat a rare pork chop, like where you open it up and you're like, it's pink. It's not cooked.
No.
Well done is 160. So I think I was 155 to 160, which
okay.
You get a very minor.
I don't mind
hint.
If it's minorly pink in there. You know what I mean? But man, I don't know.
It's part of growing up. Like, I think if you are just starting to cook and someone says, oh, you can cook your pork chops rare, you'd be like, oh, okay. If you are above a certain age, probably around the 40 mark, and you're like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I had the same process with steaks too, but I don't know if a lot of people realized that the temperatures have come down for pretty much most of the meats that were higher temperatures, even chicken, right? Chicken used to be 180. Like when I worked in a restaurant, if that thing wasn't 180, it didn't come out of the oven. It didn't come out of, if it came out of the fryer, it better be, 180, 185, whatever you were doing, 180. And now it's 165 for a breast, and 170 around there around. And the reason why the temperatures have come down is because, well, they say the process for handling the chicken at the manufacturer and stuff has gotten much, much better. where the spread of salmonella and other bacteria have been reduced and are more managed. So you don't have even to the point where another suggestion is they're saying that you're better off not washing your meat before you cook it than you are. And that's another one that's tough for me. Every piece of meat that I've ever cooked has gone into, have rinsed off, the blood or whatever, out of the package, it gets rinsed off and pat dried. Everything. My mom, she's old school. She'll grab a lemon, cut it in half, hit the outside with the lemon juice. She don't play around. But they said the reason why they've changed on that is because they said you probably end up spreading more bacteria when the water's hitting the meat and it's splashing everywhere. You actually probably put yourself in a worse position now, than not. Now, me, of course, that's in the sink, in a colander or something and being rinsed off. So I'm not splashing anything. I know how to wash my meat off. But these recommendations over the years have changed. And so some stuff we can easily jump on board with, and other stuff it becomes a bit tougher to make that transition. So you actually, I forgot that you actually sous vide it, the pork chops. And so I guess this will be a first for all of us then.
It's a guaranteed way to know you're on point with your temperature. Now, while I will say I do like sous vide techniques, when you're trying, on a 2-inch thick pork chop, there's nothing better than if you can get some good smoke flavor in it. You just don't get that. You just get perfect doneness. So at least if you're going for perfect doneness, you're there with sous vide. And the other thing I meant to mention about your Blackstone that I really do like is the searing. And I know you've talked about it a lot, but I think we've all seen, if you grill a burger and when you first put it down on your grill and it's the open type grates, it's like beautiful browning. But when you put it on a griddle, it is beautifully, perfectly uniform crust buildup. And it's insane. And then you just flip it to another naturally warm, hot spot, and you get the same thing all over again. The one thing I was most impressed with is that the crust you can build up on that. And you don't even have to go for a crisscross look or anything like that on that grill. You can't.
Right.
It's just the level of perfection you get. The only problem you could run into is if the meat was I'll say bulging in the middle, where it's a little thicker in the middle, you're not going to hit the ends of it. Where on a grill, you're going to get it all the way through because it's just pure heat coming up from below it. That's the only time I'd say that the Blackstone isn't to your benefit. But man, did you buy your tomahawk? Are you going?
I haven't gone to the butcher yet. I'm hoping to get there today.
Oh, you're waiting till the last second is what I hear.
Normally they have tons of them there. If not, it's all pork chops. It's fine. But I just want to add that. I just want to have options. And I've been, we have a daddy-daughter dance coming up. So I'm on a super grind as far as my weight loss and stuff.
Ooh, you and me both, brother.
And, trying to, that's part of the problem is, I want to grill something that, doesn't have a ton of calories, to it when, per serving, which is, steak is actually really good for anybody trying to lose weight. The good thing about a steak is that the fat content will keep you full longer. It doesn't have a ton of calories, granting that you eat a relative, amount. If you go grab a 14-ounce what's it called? Prime rib, you probably overdid it. And that's what I had this weekend.
Have you ever tried beef marrow by any chance?
I have not. I've seen them cut the bones and, where the bones cut in half and they have the little spoon for you to scoop it out. Well, I should say I've never had it, restaurant style. I definitely have, in the my younger years, have eaten, taken a chicken bone that my mom made, and it was so good that I bit into the bone and sucked the marrow out of the bone there. You know what I mean? But I've never had like the restaurant beef bone marrow.
I haven't done either. My mother-in-law, she definitely likes beef marrow. I've never done it, but like I was just going through Porter Road, their website, because they're another online ordering place. And I was just checking out. Their prices are actually quite good. And the one thing about their beef is they dry age it. I'm not seeing how long yet, which is what I'm trying to dig into on their site. But the fact that I saw that they dry age their meat was interesting to me. But again, wasn't 100% sold on how dry age is this? Is it 45 day dry age? What am I getting for? Cause it's like for the price, and I know the weight loss you're suffering in the meat. I don't know how they're getting to the price they're at, but it's just something I was looking at. I thought you were to order from either Snake River or 44 Farms for your tomahawk. But at this point, there's no way you'll get in time.
Yeah, no. Honestly, I've just had such success with the ones from our butcher here. And I just haven't been there in a while. And we're gearing up for our brisket experiment. The only reason we haven't done it yet is because, A,
stupid travel schedule.
Your travel schedule has been nuts. B, I've been on a crazy diet, so I won't be able to eat it. So I want to make sure I have like a little clearance here. So, but definitely coming up. I have the brisket here in the freezer, so that part is done. It's ordered in here. The gold standard brisket.
I'm down 23 pounds at this point.
And
I have.
It's starting to finally show up in your face.
you don't look as horrible as you normally look.
I'm joking, but I'm not joking, right? Because people lose weight differently, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I tend to lose it in my waist. I mean, my face first, where people are like, "Oh, you look different," you know, in my face. But I get a grimacy effect, right? My stomach is always last. So I end up kind of, you know, depending on what I'm wearing, starting to look bell-shaped. And it's just something I'm in tune with my body. And like, I know the signs of when I'm losing weight and what I start to look like. And then my stomach finally starts to catch up. The love handles start to catch up. And, you know, then I start getting into a more svelte state, you know. Yeah. But definitely keeping track of what I'm eating. So even with the stuff that I'm cooking now, I'm going with this because I love grilling on Memorial weekend, but I'm also going with this because throughout the week I can portion it out and get, go with some, like one of my favorite things to do is like make a bowl. I'll take like some spinach, tear it up, throw it in the bowl. I'll take the meat and just throw it on top of the spinach, maybe toss in like an avocado or something. And that'll be my meal. You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't even put any dressing on the spinach or anything. I just let the flavor and the juices from the steak or whatever meat is in there just kind of be the dressing for the spinach. And I just go at it, you know, and yeah, I enjoy that.
I'll say, and there's nothing more annoying than when I watch, you're at someone's house and they've done a decent barbecue. They have good food there. And you're like, but there's more than you could eat. And so you see them cleaning up to put things in Tupperware containers, to put them in the refrigerator. And there's always this one person in the kitchen who you can tell has to be the nastiest effing cook ever, because they'll pick up the meat and get all the meat off the plate and put it in a Tupperware container and then start to walk to the sink to dump the juices out that are there. And I just, I don't know why they're in the kitchen helping clean up. Like they, if you want to wash this, that's fine. If you don't dump that meat, back or that juice back on that meat, and like, I want to lose my ever loving mind anytime I see someone washing delicious juice off of a plate that should be poured back on the leftover meat to be used at a later.
I never understand it. I tell you, it's funny. I'm very picky when I go. I'm not a picky eater per se, but I am picky when I go to large gatherings where multiple people have brought food, and, you know, rightfully so, I think. And I tell you, one of the funniest experiences that I ever had was I went to a large gathering with my buddy, and there was like dessert upon dessert upon dessert. And I looked at a particular cake, and I'm not a big cake guy, but I was like, you know what? I'll try this cake. And I went to cut it. My buddy grabbed my arm, and he was like, don't eat that. So I was like, I trust him implicitly. You know, it'd be no different if Rod was like, hey, don't touch that. You know what I mean? I just stopped right away, stepped back. And he was like, and he pulled me aside, and he was like, we had a gathering yesterday, and it was only one slice taken out of that cake. And it's like, she brought that same cake to the previous gathering, and only one slice is taken out of it. He was like, so yeah, leave that alone. I was like, got it. Went on to something else.
It's that person who does a very good job at the decorating part, but not a good job at the quality of the taste part of it.
And if you're bringing the same cake to multiple events, you trying to offload your crappy cake. That's all that is. There can't be a good cake if you're offload, if you bring it to multiple events to get rid of it. So yeah, no, not gonna do it. So yeah, so I'm hoping to grab for sides, I'll probably do some asparagus on the side of my, and I think I'm gonna let go one of my tips for folks. When you, I don't know how you do asparagus, but one of the things is to cut pretty deep into the stem, because you really want to get that bottom piece off. That's really hard and just is just unedible, really, at least for me. And then what I like to do is I'll take my asparagus and throw it in a Ziploc bag, and then I'll just put like salt and pepper and a little bit of oil in that Ziploc bag. And I'll massage it around so it's all covered, and I just throw that in the refrigerator. So when it's time to cook it, I just take it right out of that bag, drop it right on the griddle, or if I'm on the stovetop, whatever surface I'm cooking on, grill, and just cook it for a few seconds on each side. Kind of roll it around a little bit, almost like you're doing a hot dog. Pull those bad boys off, and man, it produces an excellent flavored asparagus. So I'll probably continue that tradition.
I'm identical. The only difference, I don't use a Ziploc bag. I have a bowl that I will put a little bit of olive oil in, and then I put the asparagus in, roll them around, and then I sprinkle with, and when we say salt, we always mean kosher salt. Sprinkle with kosher salt, fresh ground pepper, roll it around, get them going nicely, and just to make sure that I don't oversalt anything, and then they typically will go right onto the griddle. And if I'm cooking inside, they'll go under like a broiler. And I'm just really just trying to, I like mine to be al dente. I want a snap bite, but I don't want them to, I don't want to point them out and they stand at attention, but I don't want to point them out and then they just fall and hit my wrist if I'm like holding it with two fingers and pointing it out. Like I want them to have a little bit of still give
somewhere
them
in between. Yeah.
Right in between. It's like, I'm looking for that perfection, but, I've been on Brussels sprouts lately. And here's a funny thing. As we all know, as kids, you hate Brussels sprouts. Like, why do they cook this nasty thing? We had Brussels sprouts. My wife, she bought this thing of Brussels sprouts. It was just like a kind of a package thing with just Brussels sprouts, and it had this sauce on it. And she's like, I figured we'd try this. And I was like, whatever. So she made them. And honestly, that's all I ate that night. I was like, just pure Brussels sprouts. And I was like, this is really good. She's like, I saved some of the sauce so we can just get some more Brussels sprouts and make it. And one of my kids said, I didn't know what it was, and I just decided to try it. He goes, they're really good. And then I found out they were Brussels sprouts. And it just goes to show, like, sometimes it's trying to find the right way to prepare things. I've never had an issue, and I ate at I forget what restaurant it was, but they made Brussels sprouts with bacon and bacon fat, and good. Mm-hmm. Oh, mighty, were they fantastic. It was a restaurant in Baltimore.
I'm not a huge fan, while you think of that, of Brussels sprouts. In fact, I hate them. But the one time in adult life that I actually ate them and was pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed them was when I went to Sean's. house. You know, remember Sean, our sous vide expert? He did some Brussels sprouts on the egg, and I think he added some bacon to it and stuff like that. And I was like, I can't tell they're Brussels sprouts, so they're edible, you know. And I don't know, I could probably revisit it because growing up, I hated pretty much all vegetables. I never ate vegetables, nothing.
Right.
And now, you know, I've gone out and just had lunch, which was all vegetables, you know. You know, I've gotten a batch of one of my favorite things to do is like fry up the griddle and take like a batch of broccoli and some cauliflower. And I'll mix in some chopped up onions, and I'll just cook that on the griddle, and eat that for lunch with maybe some tofu or something like that. And I enjoy that there. So I'm eating, you know. And that started when I first started dieting. I was like, I gotta find a way to eat vegetables and enjoy them. So I started seasoning them much like I would season my food for the smoker or whatever. And I even started smoking some of the food, some of the vegetables. And I was like, wow, I found a way to eat this stuff that I don't like, but actually eat it and enjoy it. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's all the difference is to me.
And the restaurant I was going to recommend has permanently closed. I ate it in Ann Arbor in Baltimore. Is a restaurant called Wit and Wisdom. It was actually in the Four Seasons Hotel. Outstanding Brussels sprouts. And we all know the rate of restaurants failing. And there was another restaurant that I loved when I went up to New York. It was on the Lower East Side, called Industry Food. And they had this lobster bruschetta. Oh my goodness. Back your mama was good. And there is nothing worse than a restaurant that you love. Like, there was one that when we grew up, Chris, in Rockville called Fatty's.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, they made the best burger. I can't tell you how many times, after they closed, I find myself driving towards the restaurant like, oh, that's right, they're gone. And there's some staples that just like when you grow up with that just make some good stuff. And again, I like to try to relive some of that stuff in what I cook today. And I think our burgers are definitely on point with whatever I ever ate at Fatty's. I don't think I'll ever get to making a sub like Twin Brook Deli, that which was.
Is.
Yeah, it is the epitome of subs. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, you got to go to Twin Brook Deli and get yourself a sub.
Yeah.
With the sauce. All right.
Yeah.
let us stop here. But I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you being willing to throw my beef ribs on. And I'll, since you're going to the butcher, I'll probably have you pick me up some baby back, like two racks of St. Louis spare. Cause I know that
you see what's going on, folks.
Your baby back game up yet.
I gotta cook his beef ribs, and I gotta go pick up his pork ribs. This guy.
Hell, you know,
I'm still working on my baby back ribs, but the last batch I did was probably my best. So it is getting better, but I'm still not happy with them yet.
Yeah. So we'll do St. Louis. And I know somebody in there screaming, saying, didn't Rod surprise you with Snake River Farm?
Wagon, say to that,
brisket.
Why you got to bring up old stuff? Either one of those lines will work. Why you got to bring up old stuff?
Yeah, I'm searching, and I think I'm going to go back and order some more stuff at 44 Farms, just because I really will say I love the quality of what I got there.
Yeah,
it was good. Can you find certain things cheap? Like with the beef ribs, we could not get those at our butcher. So to me, that is,
we couldn't get those ribs, the plate ribs. Yeah, the beef ribs we can get, and they're all good and
stuff like that. I did order some from them, and I was very happy with the quality. And
it's just
Snake River, I'm happy with too.
Yeah,
but I definitely will know after these beef ribs are gone. I will probably order some more because, that's probably a good point that we will touch on for another show. I have my first going off to college, so graduation was yesterday. It was fantastic. I think he's super excited about his next chapter in life. But in early August, we're doing a send-off barbecue because he didn't want to. I was like, do you want a, graduation party? He's like, no. And my wife she can't take the fact there's no effing party where I have to drop thousands of dollars on food. So she's like, let's do a send-off barbecue. I'm like, fine, I concede, we'll do one. And she talked my son into it. So I'm going to be borrowing your skills, and we're going to be doing a send-off barbecue for him early August.
Sounds probably like around fun.
August 10th, August 12th, we're going to do a big barbecue send-off for him going off to his first year of college.
Sounds
and making like sure he knows what good food is like before he gets on campus. Like,
one last time.
I got to come home and eat.
Right, right. One last time. And I should all definitely right. have my truck by then, too. So we'll see.
Dude, you should have your truck by next week.
Shh. Don't jinx
it. Or the week after. Or the week after. I'm excited for when you get it. When you get it, we'll have to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely on the show. That might be a show in of itself. So, again, thanks for doing my barbecue for me.
Got it.
Until next week.
All right, folks. We out. Enjoy your Memorial Weekend. We can't wait to see those pictures.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Can't wait to see them.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.